B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You singing, McCarthy?
I don't know the lyrics, but I'll see what I can do.
I think I'll go for a walk outside.
Oh, this is bad.
Summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now, you just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
God, that was even worse than what McCone did last week. That was horrible.
No, that's not my range.
That's not my range.
The words. That vastly exceeds anything that McCone did last week because he didn't know the words. I'm proud.
Thanks. Well,
I have a segment that even guys that aren't on the regular show are doing. Christian, you're at night.
That's right.
You're not even usually doing this.
I'm not even awake at this
time.
I'm
very proud. My segment has really arrived.
Paul Perillo, a.k.a. Mr. Sunshine, is sponsored by Devon. Quiet! Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar helps homeowners utilize the sun to offset their energy bills and provide backup power during a blackout. Visit DevlinSolar.com and get started today. Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England.
I will not be silenced, Arkin.
I'm sorry for yelling. Paul Perillo, how you doing, big guy?
Hey, quiet while he's doing my read.
Okay.
What's up?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. I feel like I'd be welcoming you into the show, but I see you all the time here the last couple of days. So let's go.
As my boss Fred says, there's nothing sadder than a holiday fill-in.
That's right.
That's me.
That's us, too.
You guys are here all the time.
Let's talk about Bill Belichick and how he was kind of like you. He was kind of like Mr. Sunshine, I thought, after that win. There was some optimism in Bill Belichick that I haven't really seen since the beginning of the year. A lot of football left to play. We're still, you know, we still got things to work on, but it wasn't doom and gloom. It wasn't just blowing everybody off. It wasn't spitting in everybody's face. Can this team climb out of another hole this year, Paul Perillo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they still obviously have, I think that was Bill's message. They have plenty to play for, and they have plenty still in their control. They don't have to worry about all the other teams. They win the two games, and they're in. And I think he understands that. Look, I think a lot of people sort of got ahead of themselves a little bit. You know, you win seven games in a row, and I don't care who you play against. If you win seven in a row, that's not easy to do in the NFL. Otherwise, everybody would do it, although there have been a lot of long streaks this year.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are in one. The Chiefs are in one. So I do think that we sort of equated those wins over some questionable opponents with the record that it was coming up and saying, oh, here we go, number one seed. The only team that I worry about is Kansas City, and if they have to come to Foxborough, then watch out. Okay, take a step back. You lost a couple of games, get a little bit more realistic, and now see if you can find your way into a wild card spot that you've really earned through the first 15 weeks.
Well, I didn't know Paul Perillo's opening take would be just drag Matt McCarthy. I feel like that was all directed at me. Again, Paul, hand up.
Stooge.
I believed in all of that. Stooge. Phil Perry and Greg Bedard were on the show yesterday, and they were obviously talking about the comments that Matt Slater made, and you look at some of the comments that Kyle Van Noy made about J.C. Jackson. Are there issues in this locker room right now? What's your sense? I know you're in the building.
Yeah,
the team
I think
employee.
It's a great question. Unfortunately, I haven't been in the locker room in over 2 years, just like everybody else.
Right.
So it's hard to sort of be on a Zoom call and get context and get sort of any feeling behind something. But I did. I'm not going to lie. I did take a step back when I heard some of the things. It started kind of with Matthew Slater, I think, on Monday. I mean, the days are getting confused now. When he sort of said, we have a choice to make. We can circle the drain and continue down this road, or we could stand up and fight and pick ourselves up. And, I'm paraphrasing. I know which way and I believe in this locker room. I respect the people in this locker room. I believe I know which direction, but not normally kind of things that you worry about the Patriots. Like, there's a question as to which direction we're going here.
Yeah.
I mean, so that kind of started it. And I think I caught a little of Phil yesterday with you guys talking about the Van Noy comment with J.C. Jackson, knowing, not killing Jackson for not making the play. And Matt, you and I talked about it the other day. I don't think that was as easy a play as a lot of people have made it out to be coming up with that pick. But, sort of Van Noy, I think, unnecessarily suggesting that he has to make that play.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. I didn't even know about that quote until today. But I thought this locker room was one of the strengths of this team. I thought that
this
locker room...
Well, it has been in the past.
I thought this year it was.
There's all different guys. I have no idea what this is.
Right, but they all seemed like they were pulling in the same direction. That video after the Kendrick Bourne stiff arm, and they're all hugging each other. Like, it seemed like... Mm-hmm. It's on defense, too. It seemed like everybody was kind of buying into Bill, and it seemed like that locker room was in a good place, I thought. During the win streak, I thought that. Why wouldn't I think that? Why wouldn't anyone think that?
Yeah, I wait and see what kind of identity the team is going to take on. And when you sort of need some adversity for that. Now, early on in the season, they were 2-4. And I think if I'm not mistaken, in the middle of that was a Houston game that they went to Houston. And you sort of thought, all right, they'll get right here. I think they might have been 1-2 or at the time. I forget when the Houston game exactly
They were 1-3. It was after Tampa.
1-3?
Yeah, they were
okay,
1-3.
So it was after the Tampa game. That wasn't the greatest performance in Houston. I thought they came out like a team and said, okay, yeah, we're 1-3, but we're playing Houston. We can just roll it out there. And now, to their credit, they found a way to scrap back and beat a bad team. But I do think that they didn't come out with the kind of intensity you would think of a 1-3 team would. And then they started winning after the 2-4. They told everybody, they told all of us, we're not a 2-4 team. And then they showed it. They proved it. They proved that they were right. They're better than a 2-4 team. They won 7 in a row. I just wonder if maybe there's, some maturity issues with, dealing with the success. I think you need some of the adversity to see how you respond to that. I think they'll respond this week. I really think it would be hard not to against Jacksonville. And I think we might learn a little bit more in 2 weeks against Miami.
Real quick, Arcan, I'm sorry, I just want to jump in. Something you said about maturity issues. There shouldn't be maturity issues on this team because I think you were the one to make the point other day.
It's an old team.
This is an old team.
Yeah.
We think they're like this young team. Mike Lombardi was saying that on his podcast. Well, they're a young team. No,
they're not.
They have a young quarterback, but the rest of the team, a bunch of veteran players. There are very few young players on this team. So if there are maturity issues with this team, that's not good.
No, when I say by maturity, I'm not necessarily meaning experience. I mean, maybe they get a little ahead of themselves when they start to have some success. I don't mean that they have immature players that are doing, the wrong thing, not preparing, not taking themselves seriously, not taking care of it. I don't mean that kind of maturity. I mean, when you win 7 in a row and you start to believe your own clippings. I think Matthew Slater had a comment about that, too, after the Indianapolis game. So those are the guys, McCourty, Slater. I think Judon has been in that group, guys that have sort of been on the straight and narrow and been good. Adrian Phillips, I would say, is another guy in that mold. They have, I think they have the makings of good leadership, but I think you have to see how each team responds. And this team is a different team than the ones that have responded in the past. I think they have something to prove over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. They do. And even with just 2 weeks left to go against the Jaguars, who stink, and the Dolphins, who are surprisingly good now, there's still a lot sort of left out there. And I said, a couple weeks ago, going into these last four games, that I saw potentially three losses, and everyone yelled at me and everyone was like, how could there be three losses? And I just, the Dolphins, they always have trouble with at the end of the year. The Colts, I felt bad about the running game they have, and the Bills, I just thought were going to have some kind of vengeance on their minds, which they did. Buffalo's resurgence. Now, there's a team that sort of pulled themselves up off the mat. They were in a similar situation to the Patriots really are right now. They lost two bad games in a row, and then they bounced back, and they sort of pulled themselves together. You got Jacksonville this weekend, who is awful. But they've also surprised some teams this year. Any reason to think that this could be a trap game at this time of year?
No. No, they're too bad. They don't have any talent. What little talent they have is right now on COVID. Now, I know the rules have changed, and a lot of these guys might play and probably will play, but at the very least, it's going to mean somewhere along the lines of 15 to 20 players aren't going to practice this week. Did you watch any of the New Orleans game the other night?
Yes.
No, it was
definitely
brutal.
Catch it.
Oh, like, horrible.
But I,
I felt Ian Book and watching
see,
him
but I'm
around.
Not even talking about Ian Book. I'm talking about guys. They had four players that arrived that day and played. Mm. They're down to like their eighth tackle. You know, some kid played three snaps at the end of the game who arrived in New Orleans the day of the game. Like, that's what I think happens when you can't practice all week and you have to get thrust into a situation. The one thing I would have said for Jacksonville, if you wanted to say, Christian, trap game, you could get caught. Well, what's the one thing the Patriots have had trouble consistently with is physical teams that want to try to run the ball.
Yep.
Right? Well, James Robinson's, you know, been a fairly effective back. I don't know how good he is. I don't watch the Jags every week. I see what the numbers are. I don't
Shame
know.
On you, Paul.
I don't
Shame
know.
On
I, you. But in other words, you guys, you know, I know you guys are involved in fantasy.
Didn't Robinson tear his Achilles, though?
Yeah. He ruptured his Achilles. Right, that would have been the one thing. Yeah. That would have been the one thing I said. Well, if the Patriots don't show up to play and they get hit in the mouth and all of a sudden James Robinson runs for 130 yards and a couple of touchdowns and all of a sudden Jacksonville has the ball for 34, 35 minutes, you can get in trouble.
Right.
But even that's taken away because he ruptured his Achilles against the Jets last week.
Yeah.
So I just don't see any means that Jacksonville has to stay competitive in this game unless the Patriots just
unless the Patriots play the way they played against Buffalo?
No.
No.
Even if they play that poorly, they can still.
I don't think they played all that poorly. Like, they had one, I mean, really one
against
tournament.
Buffalo?
Yeah. They got beat by a better team.
How about the defense?
They got beat by a better team.
The defense played at, I mean, that they didn't punt.
Josh Allen is better than their players.
Of course.
That's why they didn't punt. I know. Bedard, you know, I've been having this argument with him for 3 years. So, I mean, we're never going to win that because if you just refuse to say the guy can play, you'll never be wrong. But the guy, like Josh Allen was the best player in the field on Sunday. Jacksonville doesn't have that.
Josh Allen's great. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys punted. I mean, like, that was a special performance, I thought.
Dallas played particularly bad in that game. You remember, right?
Yeah. True, yeah.
I mean, they kept the Patriots in that game. I'll disagree with you, Paul, real quick.
Like, Jacksonville cannot do what Buffalo did. I don't care how badly the Patriots played defensively. They would have to turn the ball over constantly for Jacksonville to score like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots should have lost by three scores this past Sunday. We'll disagree with how close that game was.
Oh, I don't think it was close.
We're in total agreement that
I don't think the game was close. The
Jags have no chance on Sunday.
But Trevor Lawrence isn't ready to do what Josh Allen did.
The Patriots could play their worst game on Sunday; they would still beat that Jacksonville team. I would be shocked if they lost that game. And if they lose that game, I mean, burn the place down. What are we doing here?
Yeah, Christian, it would have to be more like Indy, you know, where you're getting a punt blocked for a touchdown, you're jumping offside
on
a freaky
field,
loss, you know, stupid things that are just handing the other team points. That could happen.
Well. They've been doing that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the stuff that
the penalties
you
haven't
about.
Really taken a break. Like, that's still, like, sort of a constant thing with this team, unfortunately. 617-779-0985. That is the phone number. Paul Perillo is here. If you'd like to talk with him, we'll get to more with Paul Perillo right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Hi, Coach. Good morning. Just checking in at the final 2 weeks of the season, still holding on to a playoff spot. What is the message to the team moving forward?
Yeah, same as is every week. Have a good week of preparation. We go win on Sunday.
How you talked on the radio this morning about just being at the playing at your best come January football. I mean, just how do you kind of get back to that level?
Prepare well, practice well, and put it out there on Sunday.
Bill Belichick, sticking to the basics. It's been an interesting year for Bill. We've seen another side of Bill this year. We got an apology from Bill this year. I mean, that in and of itself is sort of a hallmark of anything. Like, what a point in time that is.
We still don't know what his New Year's resolution is, though. Somebody needs to ask him.
I know. But you know what? It's not for lack of trying.
You want me to do that this week?
Paul, I will give you...
How much money do I have right now?
You couldn't afford
Don't
it.
Don't embarrass yourself.
I'm just going to let you know you couldn't afford it.
take my credit card.
Take the debit card.
I got my debit card and my credit card Bill, right there. You ask Bill Belichick.
Yeah, take this. Go home and get your shine box.
There you go. It has been sort of an interesting season for him. It's been a new kind of season for him. I think we've all sort of noticed a bit of a change maybe in his personality in some of these post-game press conferences. Has there been a change in the style, I guess, like in the overall coaching style? Because it seems like there would, in some ways, almost have to be, just based on, as you said before, Paul, all the new players and all these different phases and guys there. He's trying to get to buy into his system.
I do wonder if maybe some of the optimism, because I do agree there have been some games that he is, you know, not necessarily been chipper after, but maybe a little bit more encouraging than you would think. And you would think you have to do that with a rookie quarterback, right? You don't want to, you can't bury a rookie under a, you know, a cloud of negativity all the time. You know, some of the things that are going wrong with the offense have to be expected. But I agree with you. There have been some, the apology was certainly out of character. I mean, I wouldn't say unprecedented, but certainly rare. And the way he, it wasn't just that he apologized. I don't know if you guys paid much attention to the rest of that press conference after he led with an apology.
Oh, it was one of the most in-depth and I'd say far-spanning press conferences he's ever had.
Probably some of the best explanations of decisions that happened in a game that I can recall. I mean, that kickoff after the touchdown to make it 20-17 in Indy, he broke that kickoff down. You know, as to what happened and why and what was supposed to happen and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I think he has been different. To your point, Christian, it's not been the same old Bill Belichick.
With that in mind, there's two games left in the season. I think the expectations for this team have gone all over the place this year. But right now, the main thing is you've got to be a playoff team. Like, the most important thing, I think, is that you've got to get Mac Jones at least one game of playoff experience. Like, that has to happen. That has to be the number one goal. And it's an achievable goal because one win's going to do it, right? So, like, ten wins, I mean, a 10-win team is probably in. I know that it's not guaranteed.
You need help. If you get 10 wins, you need help. If you win 11, you're in.
So if they win this weekend, then Miami or Vegas losing and they're in, right?
Yeah, just one of those two.
One of those two with the Patriots winning with a tie, then there's all these other scenarios.
Yeah, I don't want to get into ties.
But that's I don't
popsicle
either.
Popsicle headache.
That's basically it. Is that reasonable? Like, I mean, do you think that's as important as I do that Mac Jones needs some playoff experience?
Well, I think it's certainly, you know, this is one of those things that sometimes fans will be upset with you and they're like, coming into the season, I would have thought, 9 or 10 wins, fight for a playoff spot, have Mac Jones develop, and I'd be happy. I would agree with everything. That's what I thought. 9 or 10 wins, Mac Jones develops, you're in playoff contention, that's a successful season. But I'm sorry, when you go 9-4, things change. And if you don't make the playoffs after being 9-4, that's a disappointment. You have to consider that. Now, the most important thing to me is Mac Jones. And I think your reason, Christian, makes a lot of sense, right? Matt, you want to get him some postseason experience now. You've gotten him all of these different scenarios. He went and played in ridiculous weather conditions. He went and played in a hostile environment indoors. He followed that up with a really championship-like atmosphere in a game against Buffalo. So find a way to win one of these games now and get some postseason experience. Check another box and have him experience some more of the weather here in December and January and learn from it.
And you know what? It's my expectation that they make the playoffs, and they will.
I think they will.
I mean, I'd be shocked. I mean, it would be a massive collapse if they missed the playoffs.
And so, I mean, I think Vegas goes to Indy, Miami goes to Tennessee.
Yeah. Tough games.
Chances are one of those teams is going
to
lose at least.
I would have to imagine. But my expectation is that they also win a playoff game. And, you know, whether it's at home or on the road, I just look around the conference and I say, yes, the Patriots are not perfect. And yes, they've shown you that their ability to win these games, and we talked about this on Monday, Paul, is relatively limited. I mean, they need to win by running the ball, playing defense, controlling the clock. They can't win the game.
And getting ahead.
And they can't win the game by putting the ball in Mac Jones' hands 40 times and making, having him throw. That said, the rest of the conference is, I think, relatively weak, and they should win a playoff game. Well, I still feel that way.
It depends on the opponent, to me.
Of course, and where you're playing and what the conditions are. Yeah. But you know what? If you get Cincinnati and I know that they've got offensive weapons. You should still beat them. And, you know, first time head coach in the playoffs and a first, and of course, you've got a first time quarterback in the playoffs, but you can make an argument for the Patriots in every single matchup that they would have.
You could.
So that's my expectation, given where you were at 9-4, given the fact that 10 days ago you were the number one seed in the conference, or 2 weeks ago, or whatever it is at this point, you should still win a playoff game. Home or road, you should still win a playoff game.
Let's go to the phones here. Paul, a lot of people want to talk to you. 617-779-0985. Apologies in advance. Let's go to Craig in Norton, who has a thought on the Patriots and their playoff scenarios. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I just want to have some fun with some hypotheticals and paint a picture of catastrophe turning into a division title.
Okay.
So imagine the Patriots actually lose next week to Jacksonville. Not only that, but the Bills win. The division would still be in play if the Patriots won the following week and the Bills lost to the Jets, because it would go down to the fifth tiebreaker, because the they would obviously have the same record, the same head-to-head.
Yeah, Craig, thanks for the call. I don't care. Let's go to John in Easton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, so my deal with this Patriots team is I think they're getting what they deserved with these couple of bad losses. I think the team got cocky after that first Buffalo win. Bill's press conference on WEEI, when he's talking about how they have all the pass plays ready for their next matchup. Yeah, that really worked out well. They really had a lot of pass plays ready.
I thought he was done. I hung up too quick. I got an itchy trigger finger right now.
It happens when you sit in that chair.
You're a little on edge today. I'm
waiting. I'm just clicking guys right off.
Do you miss Adam? Is that what this is all about?
Please. like the heaven misses the rain. Or the desert misses the rain. Let me say, just to piggyback on that, what that caller's point was, did the Patriots get cocky after the Bills game? Did they get too cocky? Did they start believing in their own press clippings too much, Paul?
I don't know if they did, but fans definitely did.
Sure.
You know, fans definitely read a lot more into that win than the weather. And to me, that game was about the weather. And I think if you didn't think it at the time, and then you still don't think it after Sunday, then you weren't watching. Because I think if the weather was reasonable, I think it's more than reasonable to believe that the Bills would have done that twice.
Is it foolish to say or to imply that that game left a mark on Mac Jones? That first Buffalo game?
That's a great question that only he can answer. But I do wonder, based on the way he's played, if he lost a little confidence in the fact that they only attempted three passes.
Do you look at him differently after these two games? Like, do you see him differently now?
I don't, because I haven't really been on the... I mean, I get in trouble for this.
Didn't think he was that good to begin with.
Well, that's strong.
That's why I'm in this chair.
That's strong to fairly strong. But no, I have not been... I would say in this town, I have not been on the Mac side of things. More in the middle. I think he has been more a passenger in most of these games. I like the way he's developing. A couple of things that I really like about him: I think he's shown a lot of toughness, both physically, standing up to hits, and mentally. I think he's put bad play behind him.
I agree.
Relatively quickly. So there's a lot to like about Mac Jones, but I haven't seen the guy that a lot of my colleagues have sort of been describing in some of these games. In Cleveland, the Cleveland game at home, I saw that. Thought he was outstanding in that game. Most of the other games, I haven't.
Titans game, I thought he was really good, too.
Yeah.
I thought he threw the ball well. I mean, it wasn't his best game. Cleveland was his best game, I agree.
Cleveland,
300
he was really
yards
good.
And two touchdowns. What are you talking about?
I know what the stats say. I don't think he was great in that game.
Okay. Let's go to Todd in Boston with a thought on Van Noy and J.C. Jackson. Go ahead, Todd.
How's it going? Yeah, I was going to say that ball wasn't really in his vicinity. You know, he tried to make a play on that ball, and we're talking Stephon Diggs. He's one of the top receivers in the league, so I think people are being too hard on Jackson. And one other point, I think that first Buffalo game, it really did get in Mac's head, and now it's just a psychological problem. I think he's got to meditate or something before these games, because I think Bill – it's just ego versus ego at this point, and Mac is just having anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, Todd. I don't know.
It's a great question you ask, Christian. I got to give you the nod. That's a good question.
What? Did that game, if it left a mark on him?
Did that negatively impact Mac?
I think it did. I think if you look at it, it certainly did on the field. Maybe it's the quality of player teams that they're playing and everything, but you're a rookie quarterback. You just trademarked your name or whatever, you know, the Mac 10 industry. Or whatever. And then you go out there, you throw three passes. I don't care if it's windy out. That's embarrassing. Like I would not be at all surprised if he was embarrassed by that, had a whole week to think about it, goes out and has three bad quarters against Indy, and then has another bad game against Buffalo. Like, that seems to me like there's some kind of thread there, you know?
Yeah, in the Buffalo game, I mean, he was as off target in that game Sunday as I can remember him.
I would agree.
The one thing I would say has been a pretty consistent trait is he is ridiculously accurate. I think his passes, even when they're incomplete, are, you know, well thrown for the most part. A lot of his incompletions are throwaways. And that game, there was three or four times where I wasn't really sure who he was throwing to, the guy underneath or the guy over the top.
Yeah.
They kind of fell in no man's land.
Definitely a couple of those. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get into more talk of Mac Jones and his trajectory and if it's troubling to everybody else, the importance of making the playoffs. And there's another rookie quarterback they're going to be dealing with this weekend. Trevor Lawrence, that is. We'll put him up to the microscope against Mac Jones. We'll do all that with Paul Perillo right after the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Mac, just to start, how would you describe just the emotions throughout this and, you know, ultimately what went wrong for your group?
Yeah, I think we just need to execute better, and it really just wasn't our day. But there's no excuses, and there's really nothing to talk about. I didn't play great. I can play better, and I can lead a lot better, and it starts with me, so we'll just have to look in the mirror and address what we can and just keep working to get better every day.
Don't say that to Jaylen Brown, Mac Jones.
I was just going
to
say the same thing.
Don't say that. Don't look in that mirror. Great minds.
Absolutely, Christian.
Great minds and also our minds.
I was with you, bud.
Anyways, that was Mac Jones after the Patriots lost to Buffalo. And I opened the show, Paul, talking about Mac Jones and his trajectory and how I'm troubled by it because we heard Josh McDaniels come out the other day and say that he's not worried about a rookie wall and he doesn't think that Mac hit the rookie wall. And I kind of agree because, as Josh sort of said, the rookie wall usually comes like halfway through the year, right? And that's when Mac and the Patriots really took off and started winning all these games right around week 7, week 8. So if this isn't the rookie wall, then what is it?
I think he hit the rookie wall.
You think it's the rookie wall? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's part of it anyway. I also think that some of the things that he's experiencing now, listen, one of his deficiencies is arm strength. And I don't think a lot of people would argue with that. I don't think he, you know, rips it through the wind the way some other guys, certainly the way Josh Allen could.
Right.
And now he's experiencing some of those conditions. Forget about the Buffalo game when he didn't throw it. But, you know, the other day I thought some balls, you know, were in the air for a while. And they're floating on him a little bit. He's experiencing even being cold. You know, like at Alabama, did he ever play a game in cold weather? Probably not.
No. He grew up in Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, he grew up in Jacksonville, played all his games in the SEC. And I just don't think he's probably had a tremendous amount of experience playing, you know, when he's been uncomfortable in any way. And he's going to learn. That's why I think your point about getting into the postseason, even if it's disappointing as they go in, even if they have to limp in, I think there's definitely some value in getting there and getting him that experience.
There's also the talk, and we talk about experience and his value and all that. One thing that Patriots fans and us here at the station, everybody else keeps talking about is we haven't seen Mac Jones lead this team to victory with a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive or something like that. And here we are, there's two games left in the regular season. We're probably not going to see that. Is that important or is that overrated?
I mean, I'd like to see it just to, you know, to check another box, right? Have another experience. Now, I think that the Houston game probably falls into that category. I would say more so that game than any other. The Chargers game, technically they were losing in the fourth quarter and they won, but it was a pick six that won the game. Not anything really they did offensively. But Houston, I think they're down 22-9 in the second half. So I know it's a bad team, but, you know, the offense did what it had to do down the stretch, and in the fourth quarter, and he was certainly much better late in that game than he was early.
Okay, but what's your faith in Mac Jones's ability if you're down in a playoff game to come back, or, you know, Adele, down against Miami if that game means something? What's your faith? Like, put the ball in his hands, they're down a score, they're down 10 points, fourth quarter, let's go. What's
your
faith?
It's not great. It's not great. And I know this isn't really it's not popular on talk radio to say it's not just about Mac, but it's not just about Mac. I don't have a ton of faith in the way they play offense. They want to run the ball. I think they have talented players on offense. I just don't think they have dynamic playmakers on offense. And I think it takes them a while to score. So, Christian, if you're down multiple scores in the second half, the other day against Buffalo, the first touchdown drive they scored to make it 20-14 took over 7.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way they play offense. Now, that was a really good drive, and it got them back in the game. And if the defense could have held up its end of the bargain, maybe you can do it. But what that does is that shortens the second half. It shortens your comeback time. Indianapolis, it took them over 5 minutes to score early in the fourth quarter. And then by the time you're scrambling to get back in the game, you really have to rely on being perfect. You can't even allow a first down, and then Indy breaks the long run and you never have a chance. So I don't have a lot of faith in the Patriots offense being multiple scores down in the second half.
Trevor Lawrence coming up this weekend. I think we all agree the Patriots are a better team than the Jaguars. Mac Jones versus Lawrence. If you could swap them out for this game, or swap them out for the rest of the season, or, you know, the rest of their careers, would you do that? Would you take Trevor Lawrence on this team
for the rest of their careers
and give the Jaguars Mac Jones?
Yeah, for the rest of their careers, yes. I really like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, right now, yeah, I'll take my guy who's been in the system all year
and knows the system
and knows what's going on. But I have not closed the door on Trevor Lawrence being a really good pro, because he's had an awful rookie season playing in what I think could be the worst situation you could possibly imagine.
But he had some good coaching. I don't know.
Solid. Yeah. Solid coaching. Solid leadership all around. You know, his lap dance technique was improved.
Elite, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, elite.
You know, impeccable, I
mean, really, those first two guys, Lawrence and Wilson, I'm not sure you could really orchestrate worse situations for different reasons. I think Robert Saleh might be a good coach down the road, but, mm-hmm. you know, first-year coach, first-year coordinators, youngest roster in the league, not really any talent, and you go to Jacksonville, and I think all you need to say is Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could get much worse in terms of situations for both of those guys.
All right, let's take a couple more phone calls here with Paul before the break. 617-779-0985 is the number. Frank has been waiting patiently in West Springfield. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
You might think this is extreme. Like, Belichick went extreme against
I love calls that start that way, Frank. Can I just say, if you might think this is extreme, what do you got? Lay it on me.
Okay, Belichick was extreme in the Buffalo game in Buffalo. He threw three passes. Here's what I'm saying is, were they asleep at the wheel? Why didn't they have eight defensive backs? They weren't going to sack anybody with five linemen. So if you got eight defensive backs buzzing around and one spying on Allen, he could make Allen run and beat you with his feet.
Well, he did run and beat you with his feet. That's exactly what he did.
And they don't have eight guys that they can put on the. I mean, really.
Well, but I mean, largely, that's how they play defense. They rushed three and four guys,
right.
And they didn't get aggressive. They wanted to try to prevent him from escaping the pocket.
They were trying to contain him. They weren't rushing him.
And
like
they would drop in their linebacker. They dropped Hightower, and they were doing it the whole game. And to Allen's credit, he took the short stuff when it was there. And he pushed the ball downfield when it was there for that. So sometimes you just got to give the other guy credit.
Yeah. And the other problem is, when you load up with set guys in the secondary, that means Miles Bryant's going to be on the field. Miles Bryant's going to get schooled by Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, they're short a guy. Yeah. I mean, the Jonathan Jones injury hurt. And, you know, when you don't have Gilmore to start, now you peck away. So two of your top three corners really haven't been part of the equation. So that hurts.
Bill is in Whitman. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Paul, you've covered the Patriots for a while, and I just wanted to say, like, when you saw that game on Sunday in the fourth quarter, isn't that just been the common problem for them the last 15 years? Defense can't get off the field on third down in the fourth quarter. It has always torpedoed their seasons. And when you said about Mac Jones not, you know, having a chance to drive down and win the game other than that Tampa game, well, when you can't stop Tua in week one and you can't stop the Saints from having a 9-minute drive to end that game, how's he going to get the ball back?
Sorry,
yeah, I mean, done, I understand the last drive. You're putting it all on the last drive. But That to me is, well, he didn't get a chance. He lost 34-31. Didn't get the last drive. They scored, what, 16 points against Miami?
Yeah.
Tua, 17, I think, against Tampa Bay. 21 Sunday against Buffalo.
17
against Indy. Like, yeah. It's not like they played well offensively
right.
all game.
Yeah. He wasn't scoring enough to stay in it
right.
the first place. Yeah.
At the end of the game, could they get the ball back? No. The defense has not been good in those situations. Miami, New Orleans is another one we haven't talked about. When they're down 8, get the ball back, you got a chance, and Saints went right down the field and scored.
Closest he got, I think, was probably the Colts game, right, with that big fourth quarter in the 17-point fourth quarter. It's about as close as he's come to a fourth quarter comeback.
Right.
I mean, he came up short there, but that's, I mean, at least you saw it there. You saw it.
Yeah, like I said, that's the toughness. That I mean, like, yeah. that's those are the things I've been most impressed with, his ability to put bad play behind him, and I think that was a good example. He did nothing for three quarters in that game.
Yeah.
They had like 200 yards of offense heading into the fourth quarter of that game. I mean, they did nothing offensively. And then he put 17 points on the board. Give him credit for that.
All right. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Final segment with Paul right after this.
Boston's home for sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Station.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Bill, you just touched on a lot of it, but I just had a couple more on John Madden. Just wondering, you know, what about him and his personality, you know, enabled him to be this huge, enduring figure that seemed to transcend the game?
Yeah, you could probably ask everybody that question, but I think it was his enthusiasm, love for football, and he just had a great perspective on, you know, the left foot spot, the right foot spot. I mean, he had so many things that just, you know, they were obvious, but then when he brought them to light, he did it in a humorous yet educational way, and just always seemed to say the right thing and have the right mix of whatever the situation called for, whether it's emotionally or analytically, whatever was called for, I always seemed to have the right words, the right perspective, and did it in a way that was easy to understand, concise, and, as I said, a lot of times humorous.
And not to put you on the spot, but are there any sort of pieces of advice that he gave you or any of the interactions from your times with him that really stood out?
Yeah, sure. There are a lot of them. I'll keep that between John and myself.
Bill Belichick today reacting to the loss of John Madden. A huge loss for football, a huge loss for the NFL. It's Christian Arkham, Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo here for one more segment. We were talking about Madden's legacy in the game, and we were trying to find like a comparison in other sports or even in football. It's really hard. It is really hard to pull up a name that is as synonymous with the league of not a player, but like a coach who was the face of the sport for as long as John Madden was, especially with all the Hall of Fame players that he called games for and all these big moments and sort of everything else. But for, you know, whatever reason, the video game, whatever it is, he always sort of endured as this ambassador to football that I don't know if that you'll ever see anything like that ever again.
Different kind of guy. I don't know if there is a comp, you know, like a Jerry West in the NBA, you know, the logo and all that. But, I unfortunately never met John Madden. I never got a chance to interview him or talk to him or, you know, really have any personal interaction. And that's sort of when you get an idea of, you know, even in, you know, small doses of who a person really is. I mean, I can tell you, I feel like I missed out in a lot of ways. You know, I remember him, you know, as a young kid getting involved, watching football, watching the Patriots. he coached the Raiders, so I hated him.
Right.
You know, I hated the Raiders. I hated losing that playoff game in 76. And then he became the broadcaster. And, you know, I have to be honest here. I agree with what Bill said. I think he brought a lot of simplicity to that, which made it easy to watch the games. But I thought his act kind of got tired kind of quickly.
Okay.
And then I was too old. You guys can wax poetic about
too old for the video games.
I was too old for the video games. So, you know, my kids obviously have been, you know, huge Madden players. They still are.
Mm-hmm.
Both Will and TJ play all the time. But, in 94, I was already out of college for you. So, like, I wasn't necessarily, the target audience for the video game empire, but just an unbelievable icon in NFL lore. And he was kind of a larger-than-life figure.
Yeah. And, you know, if people laugh about that football game, there's a whole generation that learned about football from those games.
Like, oh, yeah.
You can watch the game and see what you see, but you don't know what the plays are. You don't know who all the guys on the roster are. Like, you know, that game not only opened up, like, for kids anyway, like, an understanding of football that goes way deeper than what Madden was sort of known for giving you. Like, you learned all about the teams and the players and how good they were and their rating, you know, like, things. And they weren't always accurate, but, like, you knew more about it than you did before you played the game.
I could tell you, my kids would tell you, you know, personnel for the league that I'm not overly familiar with.
Because of Madden.
And it's absolutely because of Madden and fantasy.
The cultural impact of those games, which is one of the reasons that, you know, I think, you know, you described it beautifully, Paul. You know, you knew him as a coach. You then knew him as a broadcaster. Your kids know him as the face of one of the most important video games probably in the history of video games. I mean, that is one of the most important franchises out there.
Sure. Yep.
Christian, you and I probably had similar experiences because we're a little bit closer in age. College? That was what you did in college.
Yeah.
I mean, you go... Who on college has Xbox?
We could have been like talking to girls or going to parties, but we were playing Madden.
I was playing Madden. Friday, Saturday nights, you know what you did? You went over to the one guy who had the PS4 and the TV, or, you know, PS3 or whatever it was at the time. I don't know what it was. PS2. Could have been anything. Went over there, you play Madden. That's what you do. You switch out. You get four or five guys in a row. You just start playing Madden. That's a college experience for people my age, your age, you're laughing, yeah. Paul. You think it's pathetic, but you know what?
No,
that's the way it was.
I have like that William Shatner like Saturday Night Live skit in my head. Like, you know, have you ever talked to a girl?
Get out of the house.
No, Paul. No, actually, I haven't.
That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, what is wrong with you people?
Unbelievable.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Where he's talking to the Trekkies at the convention. Yes. That's an all-time great one. Yeah. John Madden wouldn't do that, though. John Madden, very, very accessible, very nice guy. And everybody liked him. That's the thing.
Except football, for Paul, apparently.
Except Paul.
Grandmother.
No.
Rest
McCarthy's
in peace.
Grandma, that's
Stop.
Right.
Stop. I just wish that I got a chance to meet him. I think he's an icon. I have nothing but admiration for the guy's career. It's phenomenal.
He also normalized the driving across the country in lieu of flying phenomenon. I think he was right at the beginning of that, and I thank him for that because I, too, prefer to drive. I hate flying.
And you know who had a similar experience? Our very own Jim Murray, who was the host of the Madden Challenge.
That's correct.
On G4, which 12-year-old Matt McCarthy watched every single week because I loved it. I watched these guys play Madden on television, which really is the dumbest concept.
People do that on Twitch every day.
I was ahead of the game. I mean, you think about it. Like, theoretically, it's the dumbest concept of all time.
There he is.
There we go. Jim Murray.
That's Jim Murray on the right.
Right there, on the right.
Isn't that great? He's got
Have
hair.
You seen this?
No.
He's got
you
hair.
You had no idea.
And a soul patch. Oh, look at this. Oh, is this not the greatest thing you've ever seen? Apologies to the people not watching on TV right
that's
now.
Great.
If you're near a TV, turn it on and feast your eyes on young Jim.
Look at that hair.
Young Jim with the soul patch and the hair talking about calling, I think, play-by-play of a video game.
Can you tell me what G4 is?
G4 was. I don't think it still exists. G4 was like a video game TV network.
Yeah.
It was targeted at basically 12-year-olds like me. And I watched this show every week. And one of the first things, I don't think Murray remembers this, but when I met Jim Murray, it's like, dude, did you host the Madden Challenge back in the day? I went back when I heard that John Madden passed away last night. I went back and Jim Murray has this on his YouTube channel. I watched all of his Madden Challenge clips.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was great. Jim Murray
Here's
got on
a sample
advice.
Of Jim Murray audio-wise if you're interested.
Listen, yes.
Thanks, Rossi. 4 months, 32 cities, 15,000 gamers, and a whole lot of trash talk have led up to this, the 2003 EA Sports Madden Challenge Championship. Now, I'm joined by our resident Madden expert, G4TV.com, Scott Rubin. And one
we don't care about the rest, but he sounds so much happier. He sounds less miserable.
Oh, man.
There's joy in that voice.
There is. There's like a light, you know, there's like a light in his eyes. It's gone now because he wears sunglasses all the time. But yeah, it's a different man. It's like watching Jon Stewart, you know, in the early days of The Daily Show, and then watching him now. Like, that's kind of what I feel like when I see young Jim Murray on TV right now.
That was worth it.
It's going to be a high anxiety out there.
Well, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you for the big game of the 2003 EA Sports Madden Challenge Championship. Rossi, back to you.
I was all about this. Awesome. You have no idea how all about this show I was. I'm probably the only person on the face of the planet who remembers it, because I was probably the only person watching G4. All respect to Jim Murray. But I had to text him last night, like, dude, you were the host of the Madden Challenge. That's right. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the Madden Challenge champion. I'm just going to have to settle for filling in for the guy who once hosted the Madden Challenge.
There you go. All right, Paul, it's been a pleasure, my friend.
You guys have fun with that the rest of the way.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Love that G4
music. It's Jim Murray here at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, stop number 7 of the 2003 EA Sports Madden Challenge. Well, let's be honest, this city really hasn't seen a lot of good football in quite a few years. However, that all changes today as over 500 Madden players make it out here to show off their best football moves and strategies as they try to get to Las Vegas and get their hands on that
$50,000.
$50,000. Again, this was
$50,000 if you win the Madden tournament? Oh, my God.
Arcan, this was my dream. I wanted to be the Madden Challenge. Do you know what I would have done with $50,000 as a 12-year-old?
I don't even want to think about it. Paul Perillo, thanks so much for the time. We got 90 seconds here. No commercials. Matt McCarthy's got your sports hub headlines. And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.